The superscription is always worthy of at least looking at, though nobody knows what it means. This is generally translated the choir master. You can tell that it's a PAL participle of the verb netzach, to direct, or something like that, to lead liturgical music. According to the tune of Mizmor, a song. Well, all right, you can check the commentaries on those things. The psalm itself begins with verse 2. Elohim yichanenu vivarechenu. Got that? Vivarechenu. That's going to be a vocal schwa because you have compensative lengthening. Do you see that that's a PL? You know that Barak should have the PL anyway. Now here we're in the tune, a nice poetic bicolon. God Yichanenu. This is from the, anyone want to take a guess? You see a yod prefix with a schwa, which makes you think PL, and you're right. You see a dagesh in the nun. The ending is the anu. That leaves you with two root letters, a chaith and a nun. This is a geminate root, chaith, nun, nun, losing a geminate, or the third root letter. Chanan. Chanan means to be gracious, and in the PL means to show grace, or in grace, were that a good English word. God has graced us, or will grace us, future, and he will barak us, and he will bless us. Now, you're a little tempted by the wow here. Do you notice that the wow is not wow consecutive? To suggest that they wanted this as a clear imperfect, oftentimes when you have what looks like an imperfect form without wow consecutive, you have a jussive. And you're tempted to translate these as jussives by the context anyway. That is, may God grace us and may he bless us. This suspicion is confirmed when you get to the second half of the line and you get to Ya'er. Ya'er panau itanu. Ya'er is a jussive. With a hollow root, you can tell the difference between a pure imperfect, which would be Ya'er in the hifil, and Ya'er, which shortens the vowel and you lose the infix. Whether you've ever learned that little nicety or not, here is a good example of it. Now, or is the root here, which means to be light. In the hifil, it means to lighten, make light. Not weight, but brilliance. So, may God make his face to shine. If this sounds like familiar King James wording, it is. In fact, it's often pointed out that these three verbs are clearly echoing the benediction from number 6, where you have the same roots of bless and grace and make his face shine. Though there it's shine upon us, and here it's may he make his face shine it anu, with us, with us. Oh, very good. That would imply jussives. Mm-hmm. That confirms, well, they got it right. Again, you can consult the literature on this. What does it mean that God makes his face shine? This is really an idiom for I hate to say smile, because that's often given as sort of the idiom here. That's just so hollow, you know, it's kind of don't worry, be happy, or have a nice day kind of theology, which is generally fairly shallow. When, however, you consider that this is Elohim we're talking about, having him on friendly terms, sort of properly understood with all that God implies, is really a rather remarkable statement. So having God's favor is here linked especially to grace and blessing. Line 2, or verse 3. Lada'ath ba'aretz darcheka, b'chol goyim yishuatheka. Lada'ath, to know, infinitive construct. Da'ath is the infinitive construct of yada. First yod is lost. Get a T at the end, pointed as a seglet. Remember those infinitive constructs with verbs that lose their first root letter. To know ba'aretz, to know in the earth, dar kaka. Now that's in pause. You'd learn this as dar kaka. Your Derek. To have knowledge of. I think that might be a little bit better. To know your way in the earth. Bekol goyim. In all the goyim, your Yeshua. Got the vocabulary? Now here's a good example where Mike was saying too, when you get into poetry, syntax gets extremely difficult. What does this mean? To know in the earth your way, in all the nations your salvation. You see these are nicely parallel. The to know does double duty. I think this actually anticipates the next line. Reading these two lines as a quatrain, Yoduka Amim Elohim, Yoduka Amim Kulam. Yoduka is from Yada, first Yod goes to Wow, third Hey is gone. So the verb form is Yodu, and the Ka is the object suffix. They will Yada you, confess, give praise, thanks. The subject is amim, which is the plural of am, peoples. Remember, am means collective group. This is a parallel to goy, or goyim. The peoples will praise you, O God. Elohim is vocative. Peoples will praise you, kulam, all of them. That's kol plus am, all of them. Now, I think that this is linked to the previous verse. So it means something like this. In knowing your way, that the lamed here isn't so much purpose, but I don't know what you'd call that. I'm sure someone could make up a name. Consequential or something like that. Not consequential. Jeff, you could probably think of a good term for this. There's got to be a category out there somewhere. By knowing your name in the earth, by knowing your salvation in among all the goyim, peoples will praise you, O God. Get it? So this is sort of anticipatory of the main clause in the next line. Peoples, all of them, will praise you. And note just in verse 4 how the poetic structure helps you. You get Yaduka Amim repeated. In the first half, it adds Elohim, which is the vocative, sort of filling in the blanks, if you will, on the pronoun you. Peoples will praise you, O God. And the second line, you get peoples will praise you, Kulam, now sort of filling in the blanks on who the peoples are. Oh yeah, all of them. So your sort of additional element on each half of the bicolon adds information to a different part. Verse 5. Yismachu viraninu le'umim. They will samach, they will rejoice, and they will ranan, another geminate verb in the PL, ranan, to shout for joy. Le'umim is from a noun, le'um. Be careful. I remember, or it took me a long time to get this through my thick skull, that isn't the preposition lamed attached to a noun, umim, which looks a lot like am, and you find out it means peoples, but the noun is le'um. So the lamed is part of the word, and this is really a parallel to am, a le'um. Probably more parallel to goy, non-Israelite, or nation. So the peoples will rejoice, and they will shout for joy, ki tishpot, because you will judge. Amim. Let's read what the text says here first. Because you will judge, amim, mishor. Mishor is from yashar, to be right. It's really an adverbial form, rightly. Yashar means to be straight or upright. That can mean physically, like a plumb line in building a building, and it can be morally as well. So that's interesting that this is why they're going to rejoice, because you will judge the peoples rightly. You know, homiletically, this brings up that whole theme of whether people want justice or not. Everybody sort of wants justice as long as it favors them. Unfortunately, justice is supposed to be a little bit more arbitrary and objective than that. The obvious example of the Simpson trial, I suppose, is a good case in point. But here there's rejoicing because you will judge themselves, the nations themselves, rightly. Now there's an interesting text-critical problem here. You'll notice that the line division seems very stupid in BHS. Why in the world did they split after a tishpot? Do you see that? When the second half of the line is, when the second half of the sentence, the direct object is in the next line. Especially where you have athnach on mishor. In other words, it seems pretty clear to me that that should be its own line. Ki tishpot amim mishor, because you will judge the nations, the peoples rightly. Now, the Septuagint here gives us a variant reading that adds a line, and that's what the footnote is saying, 5a, where you have something like what? He will judge the oikumene, the world, if you will, in dikaiosine, which seems to be something not there in the Hebrew. And what the text critical, or what the editor is suggesting, you see, is that you read an additional line here. And he's inserted the Hebrew for you, if you're following in the critical apparatus. He's inserted the line, tishpot teveil bitzedek, which means you will judge world. Tevel is another word often in poetry parallel to eretz. You will judge the world bitzedek in dikaiosine. Then there's another tishpot that begins the next line and should go with what we have up top now in 5b. Do you see the suggestion here? It's adding a line. What would be the assumption? Now, you guys are all taking hermeneutics or have. What's happened here, presumably? The eye of a copier somewhere started with the first tishpot, and when he came back to copy some more, he went to the second tishpot, and we lost the words in between. All right, it's kind of a classic example of haplography, or leaving words out, omitting something. And frankly, this is an interesting case. Now, what argues against all of that is the athnach, where it is, though you could still say that that's a major break, but that should come after the second line, not after the third line of a quatrain. So it's kind of an interesting problem. If you read the MT the way it is, then you're sort of stuck with wondering where in the world Septuagint came up with this. They generally did not invent words out of thin air. They would actually be correcting this into a quatrain when it seems to be a tricolon. I would tend to argue poetically that a tricolon makes sense here. Usually you get bicola or configurations thereof. When you get a tricola, it's like putting this in italics. This is the middle of the psalm. It's clearly the center section, and that would be an appropriate place for a tricolon, which is the way MT has it. Well, I don't want to get tangled up in those kinds of issues, but it's kind of an interesting case. Reading MT, then, upholding Belz's suspicion that Robbie and I are MT fundamentalists. Reading verse 5, people will rejoice and shout for joy because you will judge the peoples rightly, and the le'umim, and the peoples in the earth, you will nakam, in the hiphil. Nakam in the hiphil means lead. It's a different root from the other nakam that means comfort. In fact, we had this word last week or last time in the 23rd Psalm. You lead me in paths of righteousness is the same verb, I think. So the peoples in the earth you will lead. 6. Yaduka Amim Elohim, Yaduka Amim Kulam. Does this sound familiar? It's the same as verse 4. Nice little refrain, typical in poetry. And I think is clear indication that verses 4 and 6 are a bracket around verse 5, which is the central section. So pay a little attention to the poetic structure here. That's always worth watching when you have a short, well-constructed, tightly knit poem. It's probably got some structural features that are intended to help you understand it. So the Amim will praise you, Elohim, O God, the peoples will praise you, all of them. Now we have concluding two lines, which kind of match up to the verses 2, 3, 4. You see that's kind of 6, 7, and 8 are the reverse of 2, 3, 4. 7, the earth nathana, you can actually parse this, third perfect, a third person, nathan. Earth has given her yavul. Yavul is from the verb yaval, to bear or bring forth. This is what is brought forth, its produce. Earth has given its produce. God yivarekenu Elohim Eloheinu. He will bless us, God, our God. Defining God as our God. Who's the us here? Are these the words of the nations? Or is this the words of the people? I would argue, I think the whole point of this psalm is that God is the God of all nations, not just of his people. That's been the point. All nations will praise you when they know your way and know your salvation. Verse 3, they rejoice because you will judge them, and this is a judge who judges rightly. Judges justly, as opposed to most human judges, which sooner or later blow it. Or, in the context of a monarchy, a king who is also the judge, who in the end will always judge on the basis of his own self-interest rather than the good of the people. If you don't believe in original sin, go read a history book. And now we get to the whole earth. You see, it's not just Israel, it's not just the nations, but it's the eretz itself, all nature, which continues to groan and yet sometimes rejoices. The earth has given its produce. God will bless us, our God. And again, is our Israel now blessing the nations, or are the nations now making some sort of confession of faith that this God is also Eloheinu, our God? Yivarekenu Elohim, God will bless us, and Yireu Otho, they will fear him, who? What's the subject? Kol Apsei Arts, all the ends. Ephes means end or far, far region. All the distant, remote parts of the earth. And again, we sort of end on this theme of all nations. Any questions? We're five after, that's just right. We'll do. I don't know, what's the theme of the week? Have we determined that? Huh? Well, let's do the gospel and see if we can help. I think, you raise a good point. In general, a lot of these psalms, especially when you just kind of do general psalms of praise, are much more, I think, liturgically I don't want to say neutral, but could fit almost any theme rather than being terribly focused on a theme.